Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Lee, you're not exactly where you wanted to be, but you, as the man says, as Brady would say, as the man says, you are where you are. So you just have to accept your fate and just get on with it. I guess there's just absolutely no point in feeling sorry for yourself.
No, and, you know, obviously after losing a game like that, you know, the first thing in your head is negativity and, you know, have a little sulk or whatever. But, you know, the reality is we're still in championship and, you know, we have a, we'll know our fate next Monday who we're playing, and then we just take it from there. So as tough and disappointing as it is, you have to just accept it, and that's just the way life is. So, you know, we didn't go out to lose the game. We were unfortunate that we maybe could have got a drive it. We didn't go out, fully deserved the win, and we move on. Obviously, it's going to take a bit of fine-tuning and a bit of tweaking, but I think we're capable of doing that, and we look forward to the 1st of July.
Is there some crumb of comfort in that you've been down this road before now? It's not like last year where you were stepping into the unknown. You've proven to yourselves already that you can come back from a big defeat to get to it in a whisker of winning an All-Ireland.
Yeah, and again, it's going to bring a whole new challenge because it's going to be new teams we're playing against. We're on a very tough side, the qualifier draw as well. So you'd be looking at maybe a couple of humdinger games there anyhow. So having last year's run, obviously, will hold as well, just, I suppose, with the route we're taking in terms of experience and winning games and what it brought to us and our squad. So, you know, as I mentioned before, it wasn't pretty at times and it wasn't, you know, spectacular, but, you know, when you're winning games like that, it brings its own bit of confidence. And, you know, the championship thing, the structure's changing anyway, so it's no harder to be playing games week in, week out, and that's what players want. So we're really looking forward to it, to be honest, because, as I said, we've come up in All-Ireland finals and lost and not had a chance to rectify to the following September. So to lose early in the year, which is very disappointing for ourselves, because we obviously target the Netzer Cup as our primary focus this time of year, we have another chance to redeem what we didn't do well last Sunday and move on and hopefully get a result and, you know, steady the ship and move forward.
Would you accept, though, that the level of performance that you produced against Fermanagh, Kildare and Westmeath probably won't see you make it through to the All-Ireland Series this time around, given the potential sharks that you could be swimming past in the qualifier draw, that you got a couple of really good draws at home, and being at home is obviously crucial?
Yeah. 100%. You know, our first two games were home. We got a tricky from Fermanagh and our performance very patchy. Even Kildare are very patchy at times. I think they scored six points of one in the last 15 minutes. But yeah, so, like, no, it's not going to be good enough, to be brutally honest with you. And I think we know that ourselves. Even the performance against Westmeath last year was very dull. Like, you know, we got a bit of luck along the way as well, which is important. So we know there is a lot of tricky sharks, as you mentioned, in that group. So in terms of performance, we look at the style of the game, it was very patchy as well, and it kind of carried through to the Galway game. Preparation was good up to the Galway game, to be honest. Everything was going well, but we're not getting the back-to-back 70-minute performance which we kind of pride ourselves on. We're just not getting enough out of ourselves, to be brutally honest, and we know that. And, you know, the reality is we're losing because of it, and it's costing us on the stretch of games because we're chasing teams too many times, and we're just leaving ourselves that just too tight to catch them. So we know ourselves we have to up performance, and we're well capable of. We got the caliber of players we have in the squad is very good, and the experience is good. So we know ourselves what we need to do.
Is there a worry, though, that maybe you're just not as good as you were over the last few years, and you get to a 70-minute mark and Andy Moran's in the stand and Kevin McLaughlin's in the stand and Aidan O'Shea's only on for the last few minutes, Colin Boyle pretty much in the stand bar a couple of minutes. Like, maybe that's the changing face of Mayo football at the moment, that there is no guarantee that because you are a high quality team that have achieved great things that it is going to turn for you, that maybe you're just not as good as you used to be.
Listen, we're always going to be challenged in that kind of manner, especially when you lose a game that, you know, I suppose bookies had us to win and bits like that. So I fully believe that we are good enough, the squad does, because I suppose you're not going out there just to win a couple of games each year. Like, I suppose we're at the stage where we want to be in the big time, which is the Croke Park semi-final, final stages, and we fully believe that we can still get there this year. Obviously there's going to be a change of guard over the years. That's just a natural thing. You know, you heard Rory Gallagher mention earlier that it comes to a halt at some stage where players are just that bit older, and just, you know, there's younger guys coming through. So I feel at the moment the age profile is pretty good in Mayo. You mentioned, like, Aidan O'Shea. We said I've got a full game of him in championship. That's a plus for us when he does get a full game, because we know he's capable of doing. Colin Boyd has come back in. You know, Andy Moran as a bit older but still sharp as he was when he first played. So, you know, in terms of that, I still personally feel that we are good enough to to do a full 70, to put back-to-back 70 to get back to Croke Park. Because if we didn't believe we were going to get there, sure, what's the point? Like, you know, you might as well pack up and go off, travel for the summer, and that's the reality. So, you know, I'd be gone a long time ago if I didn't believe that we, you know, weren't capable of, you know, getting better as a team and, you know, predominantly winning All-Ireland. That's why we're here. I'm not here just to talk to you about, you know, what we shouldn't have done or should do. You know, I fully believe that we have a calibre of players that are capable of putting on the biggest show in the biggest day of the year, and hopefully that'll be in September. But it's going to take a long, 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 tricky road. And one for me personally, I'm really looking forward to, because it's going to bring its own challenges. Mm. You're going to look at different scenic routes within Ireland. You're going to see different stadiums, teams you haven't played before, you know. So it's interesting, and I'm really looking forward to it. But I fully believe that we are capable of becoming a winning team.
How much interaction is there between the players and the manager when it comes to setting the team up to play in a particular game? Or is it just Stephen Rochford and his backroom team tell you that we're going to approach this game in this way today, lads, and you're just going to have to get on board with that?
There is interaction with the players. You know, I suppose as players we want to take as much accountability as possible in terms of leading up to games, doing our own video analysis and doing our prep. So, you know, and I think that's why Stephen is quite good like that, where he lets us, you know, talk to him in terms of maybe set up. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's Stephen's only selecting teams that he feels good enough to win on the day, but predominantly it's up to the team to win. So he can only put us in the shape he can for so long. But, you know, when you're cross that white line, it's up to yourselves how you're going to perform. You know, obviously the management have a bit in the sideline in terms of substitutes and bits like that, but you have to look at yourself in the mirror and think it's you against your man. And, you know, if you're not good enough in the day to do that, then, you know, there's something wrong there with yourself, and it can't be just look at that management. So, like, obviously the manager will come in with a bit of flack in terms of selection and bits like that, but that's up to the management. We always trust the starting 15 and the six subs are going to come in. So and that's just the reality of the Gaelic, Joe. So, Joe, we're lucky enough that we have good interaction with Stephen and the backroom team. And I'd work very closely with Donny Buckley a lot in terms of just working my own skills and my bits and pieces like that. So, we'd be happy as a group from that point of view.
When you're out on the pitch, someone as experienced as you, I think this is your seventh season at championship level now, and you see Kevin been brought off and you see Andy been brought off, and you're looking at Colin Boyle like a warrior who you've had inside you in the centre half back position for so long, are you not thinking, like, why are these boys not on the pitch for this last 10 minutes? We could really do with them now. You're not going to openly question the manager, but personally, are you thinking while you're out on the field, we need these guys on the field and they're not here?
It's probably the opposite, if I've been honest, on the pitch, because you're so engrossed in what's going on around you at the time. It's very hard to know what's happening on the sideline. You know, for me personally, anyway, I'd say that I've run a long time, I'm very just focused on where my man is and what he's doing, and for me to try and influence the game I can. So it's only when I probably sit down after and look at the game, maybe saying, geez, we could have landed there or this or that. Like, so it's very hard at the time of a game, because again, you're so caught up with what's going on, and it's mayhem sometimes, and especially with the goal of the game at the weekend, it was mayhem. There was bodies going around everywhere, hits going in, you know, frees going everywhere. So it's very hard from that point of view. Like, it's only after the game you realise that Andy was in the stand or Kevin in the stand, because I didn't even see Kevin go off.
Right.
So I can't even remember where I was when he went off. I don't even know what minute he went off. So that's just the way my kind of head does be focused. I'd be so worried about where my man is or how our defensive shape is and bits like that. But of course they're some of our biggest players too, like, you know. So, like, manager, if they, again, he picks a team that feels that it's going to go out and play to the best of their ability and obviously get the results. So, like, again, I'm going to trust the management as much as possible, and I still trust them to do the same for the first qualifier game. But, you know, we're lucky we have the likes of, I suppose, Andy, Kevin, you know, you mentioned Colin Boyle, he is the heartbeat of Mayo, like, you know, and even when he came on for the last 5 minutes, he added something to the game in terms of his physicality, and, you know, he got one massive turnover, which is huge at the time. So Colin knows himself that, you know, he'll be in the mix again come the first game qualifier.
Finally, before I let you go, I want to ask you about one of your old buddies in Dermot Connolly. Don't want you to speak about this particular case, but if you were in that situation where you've got this suspension coming down the tracks, there's so much talk about player responsibility and respect for the rule book and respect for the community ethos that is the GAA, that players need to start accepting responsibility for what they do on the field. I think anyone looking at the video can see that what he's being accused of, he's guilty of. There's all the debate as to whether 12 weeks is just way too harsh for what he did, which it probably is, and whether there were some issues in and around how the referee's report was dealt with. That's a different debate, I suspect. But would you be keen for your county board and your management team to make sure that this was brought to the very end in terms of the system that's in place, so that you could play in a Connacht semi-final or a Connacht final, whatever the next game was coming?
It's a difficult one, to be honest. It's probably difficult. Of course, you want your county board to back you up 100%, and I think
even if you know that you've done what you're being accused of, which Dermot must know.
Well, I think that's the fault in the Ga, isn't it? To be honest, that we have opportunities to do it. Do you know, like, and it, yeah. Do you know, like, and that is important. And to be honest, it becomes a bit of a laughing stock after a while, because not only is his name getting dragged through the muddle with the media, which is unfortunate, because everyone wants to see a Dermot Connolly play in the summer and showcase what he has. He's one of the best footballers out there, and he knows that himself. But like, we're dragging so many incidents out that no one's talking about the football anymore, and that's what the focus should be, about players showcasing their talents. And so far the championship's been one of the best so far in terms of teams beating each other. There's no hammers, you know, like. So the whole fact that we're dragging so much out of it, it must become a laughing stock after a while, because like, how many opportunities should we be given to, I suppose, appeal and this and that, like, you know. And I've been involved myself in some of them, and it's laughable that I had to travel to Dublin to try and get off and like, go home around 12 o'clock to tell people I'm actually allowed to play. Do you know, like, so in terms of that, like, but the rules are so fickle anymore, like, you know. Obviously, Dermot knows himself, he's a very experienced player with Ireland, so he knows himself if he's right or wrong. I suppose it's made all of us a bit more aware too, in terms of putting a hand on a referee, or even, you know, what we say to them anymore, because he had not just his incident, he had Evan Comerford as well, Kieran McGeaney got 12. So it's really opened a lot of our eyes in terms of ourselves, how we, I suppose, hold ourselves accountable, as you said. So it's a funny one, to be honest. It's something I wouldn't want to go through, a 4-step process, because it must be very draining.
But you would go through it even if you were guilty, in your own mind. Even if you were guilty, you'd be like, look, the 12 weeks of this is a joke. If we think we can get out of this for whatever reason, technicality, loophole, let's go and find that loophole.
And that's every team's looking at now, is a loophole, or they're looking for a fault in their report, as I said. And that's if they're bringing lads in smart enough to do that. You know, there is loopholes, unfortunately, within the system, and we're exploiting a lot of them, and they don't seem to be fixed anytime soon, which is unfortunate again. Like, so of course you want the system to be as fair as possible to all players, because as a Gaelic player, you know, a lot of us don't go out to do any harm. We play with a physical edge, and we play on the line, a lot of us, but at the end of it, we're not trying to condemn for what players are doing. Like, if it's an issue that's there, it needs to be dealt with in the right manner. I just don't think we do it in the right manner sometimes, which is unfortunate. Again, I just think we drag it out so far that it becomes a bit of a laughing stock at some stage. And Joe, I said, teams want their best players playing, and supporters want to see the best players playing this time of year, so it just needs to be handled a lot better than what it is at the moment. And in terms of what Jeremy did, I can't really comment if he's right or wrong. He knows himself what he did was right or wrong, and if he feels that it's necessary to go through the appeals process the full way, then that's up to himself.
I suppose it's like a clean rider in the peloton. He's thinking, well, all these guys are doping, and I've no chance of winning if I don't get the needle in as well. So Mayo would probably think, or Kerry would think, well, if Dublin were in this situation, or Monaghan, or whoever it might be, even though we know he's guilty of this minor interference physically with the referee, we know the Dubs would absolutely take this all the way to the DRA if necessary. So that's what we should do.
And yeah, but they've done it before too, so they know their process as well. Like, so, and you know, I suppose Dublin are best handled as sort of, because they have such a big backroom to themselves anyhow, so they have the time and resource to do that, where maybe like ourselves or other counties wouldn't have that kind of resource. So we just have to accept it. Maybe.
I'm sure Mayo could find the resources if necessary.
Well, it depends on the length as well. You know, I'm sure Germany won't have time now to appeal for the Offaly game, so like that's another game gone too. Like, so, you know, again, it depends on the severity of the crime you've done, if it's offence you've done. So it is a tough one. It's something that I'm sure Dublin are best to equip for and prepare for, because obviously they want one of their best players playing in the summer. But I fully understand that the question you're asked in terms of would you rather be a clean rider on your own, or of course I'd rather be the clean one, because you know your honesty is obviously going to shine the ones on your left or right.
You'd still want the Mayo backroom team and County Board to back you all the way to the DRA.
Depends what I've done.
If you push a referee,
I hope I never push a referee. Like, you know,
but you'd want to play in the next game, and you're thinking to yourself, 12 weeks of this is a joke. I barely laid my hand on him. Yeah,
course,
I pushed him.
Of course, I pushed him,
and yes, I'm guilty of it.
Of course, you want to play, because your summer's over. You know, like your summer's over, and you've trained hard enough up to this point, like, you know. And if you're one of your key players, you want to be involved and not sit in the stand. Of course, you try your best to to get in somehow or another, like, you know. So, and of course, you're going to follow up, and that's the reality. And all top teams are going to do it. They want their best players playing, and they're going to, of course, they're going to find any means necessary to look for a loophole or something like that, or, you know, find something that is going to predominantly get them off and playing in the summer.
As you say, if the system allows it, if there's that potential.
Yeah, the system allows it, and that's just, that's the unfortunate part of our system at the moment.
Listen, commiserations over the weekend, and best of luck over the remainder of the summer.
Thanks, William. Appreciate it.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Connor, you've got two hurdles out of the way in Fermanagh and Cavan. What was the, have you guys done a post-mortem on the Cavan performance yet? What came out of it?
Yeah, we did. We took a look at it actually last night after the Cavan game. And there's, you know, whenever you win a game like that, you know, you're very happy with yourself, and, you know, things tend to be glossed over in your own head. But when you actually sit down and watch it, you realise how much work you probably still have to do. Like, we kicked 15 or 16 wides.
15 was my count. I was at the game. I was wondering how soon in the review did the 15 wides come up as a topic for discussion.
Yeah, it didn't take too long to get to that now. You know, so again, like, straight after a game, you know, as a player, you're happy with your performance because you won and you're still in the Ulster Championship. But when you sit down and actually watch it and go through it back, you know, there's a lot of improvements to be made, and there's a lot of aspects of a game that we have to work on, particularly that there. Like, if you get 15 chances in a game and you kick 15 of them wide, like, you can't expect to go much further in the competition. So it's something that we have to address, and it's something that we'll really need to improve on as we go forward.
One thing that has definitely improved is the number of options that Malachy seems to have in the offensive side of the field. I think it was 1-9 from play between yourself, Jack, Owen Duffy and Connor, when Connor came off the bench. That's not something that we would have associated with Monaghan over the last couple of seasons. It was either get the ball to McManus and he will hopefully pull something out of the bag, but if that doesn't happen, I know you disagree with that because you'd say it's a 15 man game, but I'll say that. Yeah. But it looks like there is a change in there now.
There is, and you know, the more options you can have in any team, you know, the more threats you're going to pose to opposition defences. And like, for example, Owen Duffy there, he kicked 3 or 4 points. If you have a regular score come from the half forward line, it's very hard to deal with, and it's very hard to mark. So it's a massive plus to have that. And, you know, Jack obviously has been well documented at this stage about his injuries and things like that over the last number of years. I suppose to anybody inside the county, it's no big surprise because everybody knew what he was capable of doing, and it was just a matter of getting a run at it. So it's great to see him. And then the likes of Conor McCarthy there, he played championship football last year. He's a year under his belt, so it's nothing new to him now. He's in there. He started against Fermanagh, got a couple of points. He came on against Cavan, got a couple of scores as well. So there is options there, and you know, there's younger lads coming behind that, and they're in training with the squad at the minute. And you know, in another year or two, you would like to think that they'll add to that and bring their own bit to it as well. So it is, I suppose, it's good to see in Monaghan, and you know, the more options we have, the better.
Winning Ulster titles is all well and good, and I mean, you had to go back to 1988 for the last time Monaghan had won one. So in 2013, it was a massive deal, and to do it again 2 years later was incredible. But watching Monaghan, I never felt they were ever going to score enough to win an All-Ireland. And you fell at the hurdle at the quarter-final to Tyrone on two occasions. To put 115 up, having kicked 15 wides with those conditions, the wet and the wind as well, is that a real sign that Monaghan maybe have turned a corner offensively? And do you recognise that was an issue, that you were never going to become the best team in Ireland or break into that top four if you didn't improve your scoring ratio?
Yeah, well, I suppose there's no place like Croke Park to show you defects in your game, if you like. And we came to Croke Park 3 years in a row and came up short. So when you do that, you have to keep looking at yourself and keep trying to improve. And I suppose it's testament to Malachy that he has persisted with that, and every year we're trying to improve that aspect of our game. And like you said, I suppose we posted 115 against Cavan. Probably it was a more open game than I anticipated, and probably anybody anticipated. You know, if you had looked at our league game with Cavan, it was, I think it finished 7 each. So you were kind of expecting something like that going into it. As it turned out, it was maybe a wee bit more attacking from both sides than we had anticipated. But yeah, like, we're creating the chances, and maybe we weren't doing that in the past. If we can continue to create the chances and maybe take a few more of them, who knows where it would lead. I suppose from our point of view, we're very much looking at down now. You know, they will have their tails up after winning in the Ulster Championship against Armagh, a hotly fancied Armagh team to beat them. So we'll have to be, you know, we'll have to improve and we'll have to be better than we were the last day in order to get a result.
Dermot Connolly, he's appealing his suspension. If it was you or if it was a Darren Hughes or a Kieran Hughes or an absolute key, like a linchpin of the Monaghan team, regardless of what infringement he had supposedly, or in this case it would appear definitely done, would you be encouraging the Monaghan backroom team and the Monaghan County Board to just take the process to as far as you can go? Because ultimately you want to be winning big games with Monaghan and you need your best players on the pitch.
There's no doubt. There's that, you know, you're definitely going to do that. No matter who you are, you're definitely going to try and push it to the limit and try and get off as best you can. You want to be playing football at this time of the year. You know, 3 months is a long suspension at this time of the year, so there's no doubt you're going to try and push for it, whether you're in the right or wrong. Like, I was actually surprised when the news broke that they weren't appealing it. And you're thinking, well, you're definitely thinking to yourself, if that was me, you'd try and. But as it turned out, they are appealing it, and you know, I don't think anybody in the country would blame them for that.
So, does player responsibility ever come into it, or is winning just too important? Like, people talk about John Milan, but that was like 13 years ago. There hasn't really been a case, high profile case in the meantime, where someone has just gone, do you know what, I hold my hands up, shouldn't have done it. That's what it says in the rule book. I'm just going to have to swallow the medicine and take my suspension.
It is like an
it makes a bit of a mockery of the disciplinary process, doesn't it?
Yeah, but the thing about it is, until the disciplinary process and everything else is straightened out, people are going to continue to try and find loopholes in it, because nearly every suspension that comes, you know, it's appealed, and then the players end up getting back on the last minute or whatever it was. It's happened a number of cases over the years. So from that point of view, you can't blame players or county boards for trying to get players off, you know, and I suppose Dublin and Jim McConnelly are no different than anybody else in that matter.
So it's just one of those things that, like, we can. Does it, in particular, this type of an infringement, if Dermot is cleared, well, he won't be cleared of what he actually did, but if he has the suspension drop for whatever reason, a loophole or a technicality that the league legals in Dublin football have managed to come up with, do you think it sends the wrong signal out to the rest of the GA community that you can lay a hand on the referee, but we'll find a way to get you off?
Yeah, it's a tricky enough question. That is, it's probably, the whole thing is an unfortunate enough situation, and probably nobody is encouraging that to happen. It happened, and Dublin are trying to make the best of a bad situation. I suppose that's the way you would look at it. Nobody's encouraging, you know, nobody probably wants to see that going on. It happened, and Dublin are trying to respond in how they see fit. They want to see Dermot Connolly playing, like all of us do. You want to see the best players playing on the field, and if it's a case that they can find a loophole and get him off, well then, you know, everybody, I don't think anybody will have any qualms about seeing Dermot Connolly playing in the Championship as the summer goes on.
But if it was you the Tuesday after that Carlow game, or say the Cavan game the weekend, and Malachy phoned you up and said, look, Connor, we've looked at the video and you did do that, so off you go for 3 months. You'd be like, ah, hang on, lads. there must be some way
there has to be something we can try here, and you would. And you know, whether you're right or wrong, you know, you still want to be playing. It's a harsh suspension, 3 months at this time of the year. Like, it's a tough suspension, and there's no doubt. And I'm sure if you asked any other player in the country, what would they do? They'd try and fight their case and fight their corner to see could they get away with it, you know.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.